apologies, because we don't want that at the later stage the committee is depleted. Honorable Zanel Nkomo is attending Women Multi-Party Caucus. Honorable Louis has to leave at 12 to attend to his child school matters. Honorable Abrahams also has another commitment. So we'll be left very few. You are welcome. What was the problem at the gate? Registration. Are you coming here for the first time? You have never been here. Okay. You will get used. Okay. If that is me. Are there other apologies? Honorable Rebecca.
Thanks so much, Chair. Please note the apology for Floyd Chibambu. Honorable Floyd Chibambu. I think we did send an apology to the Secretary of the Portfolio Committee.
I will check the paper if you want, and then you submit it to the secretary, so that's officially recorded. Okay. But you are here as an alternate. Okay. Well, those are the apologies. One item today, which is the briefing by SARS on the illicit tobacco trade, which is creating lots of problems in our country. There's a lot of tobacco which is traded illegally, either imported or manufactured in the country. And SARS in the process is losing a lot of money, which was supposed to be revenue. And there is a worry from the business, those who are legal tobacco manufacturers, suppliers, and traders, that they are highly affected by this illicit tobacco trade. And if nothing is done, the legal business is going to close shop, and then we only have illegal traders selling their dangerous tobacco, which has never gone through a bureau of standard. The health aspect has never been checked, so it hasn't gone through a rigorous process to make sure that it complies with the standard. So it's a health hazard, it's a financial hazard, doesn't create jobs. So the country is benefiting nothing. Instead, it's killing people, it's killing business, it's killing government. So the consequences are very, very serious if nothing is done. I will also give you an example of the fuel industry. We are having a problem now with the fuel industry. So this illegal trading is all over. Remember, it started with textile. Now you go to Salt River, it's becoming a ghost town. It used to be a hive of activities. Now it's tobacco, fuel is coming. Then the country will be run by the underworld, the criminals, mafias, and who are creating problems. So we can't allow mafias to run our country. And if this is allowed, we'll reach a stage where it will be practically difficult to deal with them, because they will corrupt people. We know of countries where they are untouchable. So something has to be done in this regard. With those comments, let me right away invite SARS to make a briefing so that we have members asking questions and making comments and probably target that way by upper class when many members are still here. We should be done. We'll leave with the discussion, I mean the presentation.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, the presentation would be in three different parts. The first part is around the current licensed and registered entities within South Africa. Some of the data around the statistics in terms of import and export around cigarettes and tobacco, and then also some statistics around some of the interventions and seizures of cigarettes and tobacco. So, Chair, across the country, there's 19 registered and licensed primary and secondary tobacco and cigarette manufacturers. Primary meaning the ones that process the tobacco, the raw tobacco, and then the secondary is the manufacturers themselves. There's over 180 exporters and importers that deal in tobacco, cigarette, and primary cigarette products, meaning your cigarette paper and your filter products. 90% of these cigarette manufacturers are based in the Gauteng region in terms of the geographical spread. A large manufacturer and processor and manufacturer is based in the Eastern Cape. We have one manufacturer that's based in KwaZulu-Natal and a large tobacco processor in Polokwane region. And then we have two tobacco manufacturers that are based in the Western Cape. In terms of our statistics, Chair, for the period April to September and April to September 2018 and 2019, there's a 195.42% increase in cigarette imports. So where the duty paid procedures, which is from 24 million to 72 million sticks. And this is mainly due to the big imports from one of our larger cigarette manufacturers locally. And then there's also a 56% increase in terms of warehouse for export purpose codes where cigarettes are brought in and then exported to other countries. Primarily these are imported from China. We are seeing a little bit of a decrease in terms of the cigarette imports in terms of this purpose code, primarily because we're seeing a lot more of our local manufacturers that are doing a lot of the exports as well. These are just some of the customs procedure codes here in terms of what is duty paid, where goods are imported and the duties are paid. Then there's the general rebate provisions, where there's a relief of duties. Then the permanent imports from our neighboring VLNS countries, that is Botswana, Lesotho, Namibia, and Eswatini. And then the warehouse for home consumption where the goods are brought in for later purposes of duty paid, and then the warehouse for export. So in terms of the volumes and the value of the cigarettes imported for the 2018 and 2019 April to September period, as you can see, Chair, there is a slight decrease in terms of the warehouse between the same period. There's a drop in terms of the warehousing, but there's an increase in terms of the warehouse for exports where goods are brought in for re-export. And then in terms of duty paid, you can see there's a significant increase where the duties are paid at the time of importation. And then, Chair, as you can see, the issues around the cigarette imports, the April-May periods, there's a significant decrease in terms of the importation volumes. In June, there was a slight increase, and then there was a significant increase in around August and September between the year-on-year importation values and quantities. Like we indicated, Switzerland is our largest country of import where the goods originate, followed by Tanzania and then the United Arab Emirates. Those are our three main import countries. In terms of tobacco, Chair, the imports of unmanufactured tobacco or raw tobacco, you could see that there was a decrease in our April to September between the two years. And then in terms of the cigarette tobacco, especially in terms of the processed one, there was an increase in terms of that importation. And then obviously there's an increase in terms of the importation of cigarette paper. In terms of the exports, there's a decrease in cigarette exports under the purpose code export of local goods from 2.21 billion to 2.2 billion sticks. This is because of the duty paid stock. Most of the exports relate to reimportation for reprocessing and finishing before exports. The increase in cigarette exports under the purpose code EX1 H61, as you can see, there's an increase of 2.4 billion sticks, and this is due to the export cigarettes to Namibia and Botswana, respectively. In terms of the exports, cigarette exports, Chair, you could see that we have, according to our statistics, the export volumes have increased, specifically around for that period April to September 2018 and April to September 2019. So in total, we've had an increase in terms of the exports, and that we're seeing also primarily because of the increase in production and exports for some of our local manufacturers. And if you look at the figures from our April to July period, in month on month, there's an increase in terms of the exports and the difference year on year. And like I said, you know, that's mainly because of a number of our local smaller manufacturers that are exporting the products. The countries that's primarily receiving these export products, you have Mali, Namibia, Lesotho, Angola, and Zimbabwe in terms of the top five for this period, April to September in 2019. As we explained here, the exports of processed and raw tobacco, as you can see, the exports from South Africa for the tobacco products have increased for that period. The cigarette tobacco, we've had a reduction in that, and that's also primarily because a number of it is still stored in our bonded warehouses around the country. But in terms of the cigarette paper, there's an increase, as well as the filament tow that's utilized in the filters. In terms of our seizures with regards to cigarettes, Chair, over the period, April to October, we've had 306 seizures across the country, amounting to 44 million sticks of cigarettes, which equates to around 40 million rand in value. And there was about 23 seizures of tobacco, that was the raw tobacco, amounting to 11 tons, with a value of 77,000 rand. Significant cases, Chair, within this period, we had a container of cigarettes imported from Dubai. This container had 1,000 master cases of Royal cigarette that was not declared, and it was eventually abandoned and was finally seized by SARS Customs. And then in Gauteng, we had a product that was found at one of the distributions. That did not comply with the requirements, did not have the excise diamond stamp, and they could not provide any duty or any reflection of where the duties and taxes were paid. And then Along the northwest borders, so we are finding quite a number of seizures around cigarettes that are concealed. In one of the matters, there was a concealment in a container that was structured to conceal these 281 master cases of cigarettes. Currently, Chair, in terms of our warehouses, we also have 165 tons of unprocessed tobacco that's been detained at customs pending finalizations of the cases. This is not reflected in the seizure stats because there's still an administrative process that needs to be followed, and we're going through that process, and we have that volume of tobacco that's currently within our state warehouses. And then in terms of the current activities, we have 7 compliance verification activities that are taking place around the importation of cigarettes, where we verify the correctness of the declaration and whether the cigarettes conform with the requirements. Chair, in terms of our current operational activities, we are currently conducting periodic visits to tobacco and cigarette manufacturers. There is current deployments of customs inspectors to a number of cigarette manufacturing facilities to verify in terms of the production, consolidation of the tobacco that is used, and the number of cigarettes produced, and the quantities removed for distribution. This is just in terms of us ensuring that along the entire supply chain we understand what's going on, and we quantify and verify the figures and the production stats. Current monitoring and risk targeting methodologies are being employed within the customs risk and case selection process to identify high-risk consignments of both cigarettes and tobacco that's being imported, exported, and that which is transiting South Africa. So we are monitoring the movement of tobacco as well as the cigarettes that are coming through and moving in between our country. Chair, in terms of some of our other matters, we have 3 criminal matters that are currently in court that relate to cigarette and tobacco smuggling. These are still to go through the court process, and we're busy with those criminal matters. In terms of civil matters that are currently in progress, this relates to a matter whereby there's assessments and there's over 200 million rand lost to the fiscus that we're busy in trying to recover through a civil process. Then in terms of current investigations, we're looking into the movement of raw tobacco that is imported and suspected to be utilized in the illicit cigarette production process. Those are ongoing investigations, Chair, that we are busy looking into from an audit and investigation process. Chair, in terms of the current legislation and policy processes, the implementation of the cigarette manufacturing counters, second round of public comments have been received and will be evaluated prior to implementation. The implementation of the tobacco manufacturers, the leaf threshers, is under consideration. Public comments have been received and is being evaluated. The implementation of the 4 stalling regulations that govern the volumes of cigarettes that can be stored by the manufacturers are being produced, and then these are currently in comment phase, and we will be implementing those once we've received the comments from the industry. And then the last point, Chair, is the track and trace project is ongoing, and this is looking specifically in terms of addressing the fiscal marker, and that process we are currently going through with our with the industry as well as with our legal advisors. That is it, Chair.
Thanks very much. Did you introduce yourself?
My name is Kumaran Mudli.
Who?
Kumaran Mudli.
Mudli?
Yes, sir.
And your friend, your colleague?
Thank you, Chair. I'm Intikab Sheikh.
Sheikh. Okay. You are welcome. Members, that's the presentation on illicit tobacco trade. Questions for clarity, comments. Or maybe before member treasurer, do you want to say something before we open for members?
No, Chair, we don't have anything to say at this stage.
So you will assist in building the questions from members. I'm going to start with an entity of Australia. Let me note the members. Honorable Mavila Eton. Honorable Abrams. Honorable Kosana Shenge. Honorable Murulum, Honorable Louis, Honorable Rebecca. Okay. All members in that order. Honorable Mavila.
Thank you, Chair. I think for me, generally speaking, but especially when you come to custom intervention and successes and significant cases, you're doing very well. But the fact remains that illicit cigarette plus tobacco smuggling is continuing. So it simply means you are not doing enough. So the chairperson, in his opinion, you know, he just said health hazard and financial hazard. And we continue to lose a lot of money because of this. So there should be something that you're not really doing enough or well. You need to go back and just reinforce whatever you are doing. Because this issue is in the public domain. And really, the public really wants to know now what is going on, what is it that you are doing. We are sitting here, we understand very well your presentation, and you know, we are with you, but really it is going on, and we are losing money. So for me, I think next time we will hear more of the successes and not that, you know, SAS is losing a lot of money this much. Thank you.
Honorable Abrams.
Thanks, Chair. The presentation is appreciated. I concur with what has been said by Honorable Mabide. My first question, Chair, really is to whether there is any relation between what SARS is doing and what is being done at OPSAI, so that you have relations in terms of what transit, whether as an import or as an export, in as far as a cigarettes are concerned. On slide number 18, on the current matters in progress, you talk there about 200 million in losses to the fiscal. One would have really have an interest in terms of what are the details there. What is the devil that is in the details? Because it's a lot of money, it is a loss to the fiscal, and we would like to know to what are you losing so much money. Sometimes, Chair, when it comes to slide number 14, on customs interventions and successes, as Honorable Mavide has said, this is much appreciated. But you know, sometimes when figures are given, they just figures. But when you compare them, then you know you're going somewhere. So as those figures are given, then are we going forward or are we coming back? What can we compare with as we look at those figures? The next slide, Chair, is slide number 17. If the department can just unpack a bit as to bullet point number 3 on current monitoring and risk targeting. What is it exactly that you are doing? What, how certain can you be? As Honorable Mavides has referred to the health risk, and you know, sometimes you also have a suspicion that within your illicit tobacco, you have lots of drugs there, and therefore we are worried as a country because we are not sure where the amount of drugs that are in the country causing a lot of hazard comes from. So that's why we're asking, what are the methodologies? How certain are you about the methodologies that we are using? The last one for me, Chair, is on slide number 5, where you mark a difference between what happened in April and May. And I take it those are the amounts of cigarettes. My interest is the financial impact, if those are cigarette amounts, what is the financial impact? And maybe, sorry, Chair, just lastly, the Switzerland relation, what is it that we're getting from them that they're getting so much from us? You know, I'm looking at the figures that are there in the second slide, and I'm like, apparently Switzerland breathes here. What do we have to count for that? What do we gain from that? Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Yeah, we appreciate the presentation. Indeed, this is a matter of serious concern. As your presentation indicates that we've got only 19 registered and licensed tobacco and cigarette processors and manufacturers, and that we've got about 180 importers and exporters of cigarettes and tobacco, and that currently you are sitting with civil matters to the tune of about 200 million in losses to the fiscus. So now my interest is to know as to how old are these cases, and what is the success rate of yourself recovering this 200 million losses in the fiscus. If you are saying it's about 200 million losses, cases that you are sitting with, how old are these cases? And in terms of previous cases that we have dealt with, what was the success rate perhaps of being able to deal with these people, and if you are you able perhaps to recover your losses to the fiscus? Thanks, Dr. Chief.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. One must welcome the presentation. I've got just two questions. But before I ask my question, Chair, you know, I didn't understand this issue of illicit cigarette and its impact up until, from where I'm coming from, I saw a rise in smoking by the youngsters. And when I asked from a local shop, the tuck shop, then the person who's owning that tuck shop told me that he no longer sells any of these legal brands because he's not making money. For one stick of like Stuyvesant, he will charge 260 more or less. And for this illicit cigarette, it's 60 cents. So that on its own is encouraging people to start smoking because this illicit cigarette is readily there. Everybody can actually afford to buy that. And this is a serious problem that we need to try and address as the country, because some of these people, like RG Spring is one of them, they received an award of being the best selling cigarette at some point here in South Africa. How can that be? Then my question is, how is the relationship between SARS and SAPS? in terms of trying to cap this problem. And my second question speaks to the issue of capacity within SARS. Do they have capacity? If no, what are they doing to address that? Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair Murolo. Well, thank you very much, Chairperson. Well, on paper, the number of cases of seizure of cigarette looks impressive. But you see, there's also a growing criticism that SARS has regressed since 2010, and quite significantly since 2015. There is a view that there's diminished capability on the side of SARS to deal with illicit tobacco trade. I wanted to ask whether, and perhaps regurgitate what the latter speaker has expressed, whether we have requisite capacity as SARS, and whether the criticism that there is growing, or the growing criticism that there is diminished capability, especially since the disbandment of those five units, which fell under some project Honey Badger. I wanted to check whether there is any substance to the truth that there is diminished capability, and that perhaps one of the reasons why the cases have risen quite significantly is because of this inability of SARS to deal with some of these issues quite significantly. Thanks.
Thanks, Honorable Lewis.
Thank you very much. You spoke only very briefly about the track and trace projects. The Commissioner has spoken to us about that before in some more length and detail, but I thought you would have spent some more time talking about the progress there. You've just said that it's ongoing, but it has been delayed three times, and I think for good reason. I'm not saying that it necessarily should not have been delayed, but still we would like to see some progress on there. So if you could just speak in some more detail, please, about where exactly it is, that project, when the tender will be issued, and what progress there is on that. Then I must say I do not agree that seizing 40 million, 45 million cigarettes is a good performance. I mean, I recall from the Commissioner's last presentation that South Africa consumes about 30 billion cigarettes a year. Is that correct? 30 billion? So seizing 45 million is 0.15 of 1% of the trade. Now, there's no way that that is even scratching the surface, not even putting a toe in the water of the illicit market. As I've said before, with another entity, I think it was the Financial Intelligence Center who proudly claimed that they had seized 50 million rand of illegal money transfers in 1 year. 40 million cigarettes in half a year is actually not an acceptable performance for customers. It is as I said, not even scratching the surface. So if you could speak in some more detail about what additional resources you're allocating towards these kind of seizures to disrupt the supply of untaxed cigarettes. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Lewis. Hey, Lewis.
Thanks so much, Chairperson. I'm just having few questions. The first one is with the issue of ITEC. ITEC, I-T-A-C. I just want to check with you. I can see the number of export has decreased in terms of, I think, duty paid, the GP, because of the ITEC processes have to take place. I just want to check with you in terms of import, because as much as we know, import is killing the country very well, very much. It burdens the unemployment rate goes up because of import. And then it doesn't even protect the local manufacturers. So I want to know, is this ITEC also trying to protect issues of import as well, not just export? Number two is, when is the government going forward going to ensure that, more especially SARS, that is going to protect the volumes in terms of import rather than export? When are they going to try and do all those things? I can see Switzerland is number one. It's importing a lot of goods in South Africa. But we have local producers of tobacco in South Africa. But we keep importing rather than making sure that we empower our locals. Then we sell outside. Then the last one is with regard to this illicit tobacco trade. We can come here and talk every day, every now and then, about this illicit. If the government is failing to protect the illicit financial, we can come here and talk all the time. So we're not going to go anywhere. Where the law enforcement agencies, we are having custom officials that must protect this government to ensure that it doesn't happen. Where does these goods come from? They come through ports. You go to Richard Bay, they are coming through the ports. Where is the officials, the custom official, together with the law enforcement agency? Tina, we are not there. We'll come here and talk, and they keep going in and out of the country. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Rebecca. Bob and Sasha, can you respond to the questions?
Thank you, Chair. I'm not sure if we'll be able to do it in order, but we'll try and cover as much as we can. To the first comments, thank you very much. I think you're absolutely right. As a country, we need to do much more. And as SARS, obviously, we have to up our game. So we'll take those comments back, and we agree with that. With regard to the relationship between SARS and DHA, the relationship is not particularly around cigarettes. So there's a relationship between SARS and DHA where we share information. We use the movement control system that DHA has. We use the ID system to try and match identities and make sure we understand the clients and who they are. Even around the borders with regard to private people coming in on passports, we do share that information as well. So there is a good relationship with regard to the general management of personal identities. With regard to companies, we share a relationship with SIPC, the companies where companies register. And most of the tobacco manufacturers are companies and not individuals. And in that regard, we do a very similar thing where we now... we don't register anybody that has registered, that has not registered with SIPC. So in the past, you could actually register with SARS and not register with SIPC. That is no longer allowed. So now you have to go to SIPC first, and then you come to SARS, and then we register you based on that company number. So it's a general relationship. It's not particularly around cigarettes. And it has yielded successes with regard to, especially on the tax side, you know, where we pre-populate tax returns. I'm sure you've e-filed your tax returns and you've got it pre-populated with your income, etc. What it's allowed us to do is, in fact, provide a service to people who are willing to comply, and then we can focus our resources on those who are not willing to comply. And I'll just alt-tab, Chair, which ties into latter questions around capacity and capability. There is certainly a capability at SARS, but I would not be telling the truth if I say we have the full capacity. We definitely need to rebuild, Yes, there has been some, and I mean it's public knowledge, it's been in the newspapers, it's been all over the place. We have lost certain skills, there were certain units that were restructured, etc. And currently we're in the rebuilding phase and those things are being put back together. Most notably, you would have noticed that we launched a large business center a few weeks ago. It's the first in re-establishing SARS of what it was in terms of 5 years ago. So that's basically around the relationship. We'll come back to the details on the 200 million rand case. Just as a matter of interest, it's one case, and it's been around for 7 years. It's one case only, but it's since 2011, so it's about 8 years. We won't be able to provide any details around the name, etc., but we'll just tell you where we are just now. On the year-on-year comparison, I think that's a good point. So in future, if we have to present, we will put a year-on-year comparison around the seizures and stuff. But interestingly enough, if you look at the imports and the exports, I don't mean to come off as we're trying to say we're doing a good job, because we're not there yet, and that's by our own admittance and our own acceptance that we have to do better. But if you look at the comparison between April and September for both years, imports and exports, in my mind, and I might be just flattering SARS, but data doesn't lie. I think the arrows are going in the right directions. We're actually importing less, and we're actually exporting more. Yeah. So for me, those arrows are actually going in the right directions. Because we actually, you know, many people take cigarettes to be a revenue-generating commodity. It's not. It's actually a health. It's a health tax. Am I right, Tony? It's there so that people shouldn't smoke, not that people should smoke and pay tax. To your point. So importing less means hopefully that the numbers are going down in terms of how much cigarettes that are coming into the country. And the exports going up means we actually using local manufacturers to export cigarettes. But more importantly for me, if you look at those numbers, and if memory serves me correct, the actual value per unit has gone up. If you look at the slides on imports and exports. And why that's important, because while we can all speak anecdotally about how many cigarettes are being smuggled, etc., etc., you'll never know. Because if you knew who was smuggling and where they were smuggling and why, or when they were smuggling, you would just catch them, right? So one of the pointers that U.S. Customs use in order to make them understand whether they are successful or not, they actually look at the price of drugs in the market. And if the price goes up, it means they're doing their job. If the price goes down, it means they're not doing their job, because it's a supply and demand thing. If there's too much of supply with less demand, the prices goes down. If there's no supply and a lot of demand, the price goes up. So in our minds, we have certainly not turned the corner, but we're seeing that we're on the right path to recovery. If we look at the figures, yeah? So, unfortunately, we didn't put the year-on-year comparison for the seizures, but if we're given an opportunity, we can do a follow-up on that, yeah? From a risk and monitoring perspective, I think not only SARS, but I think everybody realizes we have to start taking advantage of technology, because that's how the world is moving, yeah? And so far, what we've done from a SARS perspective, which I think you can see in the figures, last year we actually implemented a new customs risk engine. I just want to give you some background. I don't mean to underestimate your knowledge on anything, but there's two pieces to SARS from a customs and excise perspective. Customs relates to imports and exports, yeah? And excise relates to manufacturing. And from that manufacturing, you can actually move goods inside South Africa, and you can export. But you can also import to manufacture and then export. Yeah. So we have a three-way split in particularly customs, which is your customs, import and export, your excise, and your passenger. But they're all related. Yeah.
they're all related in the sense that even passengers smuggle cigarettes. Yes? And even truck drivers smuggle cigarettes. So you have to know the person as well. So last year we implemented a new customs risk engine, which has yielded quite a lot of data that is busy being analyzed that we can use in the other areas of SARS. And this year in April we implemented a new excise risk engine, which is also yielding a lot of trends that, and patterns that we're trying to put together in order to intervene in the right spaces. And in December, we will be implementing a passenger risk engine, especially at Ortia. And once we have those three areas covered, we can actually see the movement of people and how it relates to the movement of goods and how it relates to the manufacture of goods. And look, I think you can try as much as you like to catch 40 million sticks of cigarette. You can catch 10 billion sticks of cigarettes. But if you don't follow the money and you don't get the person, you've done nothing, yeah? Because for smugglers, it's like gambling. If you go to the casino and you're willing to win at once every 15 times, but you win big, it's not an issue. So as a smuggler, if you have 10 containers going through and you get caught 8 times, but you make enough money on the 2 times, you don't care about the 8, yeah? So our eventual aim, starting in the new year, is to start putting these pieces of the puzzle together, and we're also going to then integrate that with the VAT system, because we want to see, in relation to what people do and how they move in and out of the country, are they actually related to any companies that are manufacturing and any companies that are importing and exporting, and are they registered for VAT? Because ultimately, customs is not the place where you're going to catch people. Yeah, because that's not technically where the money is. The big money is in company income tax, which South Africa is one of the highest rates in the world, and on VAT. So going forward, we are now putting the platforms in place from a technology point of view, and we hope to see the benefits of that in the next few years. And then lastly, we've also started exchanging information with Botswana electronically. So whatever is imported into our country, destined for there, we actually send them the information in advance, and they send us information in reverse. And by the end of the year, we want to start doing that with Lesotho and Swaziland as well, Eswatini. So if you ask me what is the significance of that, it's not only about imports into South Africa. Because generally, like the honourable member said, it's stuff that's coming through the borders, not necessarily through land borders, through seaports and airports. It's actually through the physical land borders, and stuff comes into South Africa and goes there and comes right back. So if the two countries don't work together in terms of exchange of information, it's not about the customs officer. It's about making sure that the customs officer is empowered with the information so they can do their job. So that's some of the things we're doing in terms of some of the detail that you asked for with risk and monitoring. Okay, the next point was a very good one. We normally measure in sticks. We haven't actually put the rand value because, and maybe we should do that going forward. We will, but generally we look at it from a health perspective. We don't see tobacco as a financial spinner. Everybody talks about we're losing so much money, but I think the honourable member is correct. It's not about the money. It's about safeguarding the health of the future. So that's why we count the sticks, because it doesn't matter how much you sell the stick for. It matters that somebody smokes it, and that's what we want to take out of the market. But nonetheless, it's a good thing to remember for the future, and we will put that there. With regards to Switzerland, I can't answer that question. It's something new that's popped up on the radar, that we're importing a lot of cigarettes from Switzerland. Correct. That's the problem. It's all the new stuff that's coming out with the fancy adverts, etc. But I think the question was related to what do we get in return? Well, we don't. We don't. So, yeah. So I think what we need to do, and maybe Treasury and ITEC can pick that up, is we need to start speaking to them about trade agreements and special rates for our imports and opening their markets to us. Because we do have that with the U.S. and a few other countries. So that was a very, very good pickup. I think it's some homework that we need to do. Okay. So we owe you the detail on the 200 million and we owe the success rate. I'll just finish the other stuff and things. So SARS versus SEPS, I think in all the different border posts and all the government clusters that we have, like the JCPS, the security cluster, the cybercrime cluster, etc., we work well with SEPS and we've had good successes together with them, which then moves into the capacity / capability question, which I tried to answer earlier. I certainly believe we have capability, but capacity is an issue. We're in a bit of a difficult conundrum, because one, there is a lack of budget in the whole country. I mean, you've seen the minister's budget speech, you've heard what he's had to say, times are tough, but at the same time, you can't always throw money at a problem because you may be able to get the money, but you may not be able to get the right human beings fast enough. Yeah? So rebuilding and reinvigorating SARS is a journey. But if you look at, I'm not sure if the commissioner has ever expressed his strategic intent, but the strategic intent is based on service, compliance and education, which is providing clarity. And a large chunk of that going forward is going to be based in technology that that empowers human beings, both SARS officials and the public at large, to do a job. And I'm very specific about saying do a job, because yes, while the accountability lies on SARS, there is a huge responsibility on the public also to play their part. You follow? Because if I did go to a shop and I did find this person selling cigarettes for 60 cents, I should be able to bring that matter to SARS's attention very easily. Maybe it was not brought to our attention because it's difficult to do, or there may be a certain amount of fear, or whatever the case may be. But we want to deploy simple technologies that would allow you to just pick up your cell phone and send one SMS to a private number that nobody even knows, and tell us at this location, or just even drop a pin and say this person is actually selling cigarettes. So that's about the compliance part, but it's also about educating and providing clarity to the public as to what their role is in this whole thing. Because it's not good that we all say, you know what, everything's illegal, but we're the first people buying music on the internet or downloading videos on the internet. That's also illegal, but we do it. You understand? So there is a certain amount of responsibility, not accountability, but a certain amount of responsibility from the public. And that's going to take a long time for us to get that education out there. SARS has regressed. I suppose that's a fair question. I wouldn't say that we are at the best of our game right now compared to where we were in the first decade of this century, but I have hope that we're going to get back there. I think now that, I mean, you obviously read the newspapers, there's been a lot of cleanup and things have been changing, and I think with the commissioner at the helm and his vision for 2024, we're going to get back to where we are. Is it an easy journey? No. But there are a lot of men and women at SARS that are willing to take the journey. And those that stuck it out over all the difficult times, if they've lived through it, they're not going to give up now. And that's the only explanation I can offer. Check and trace, unfortunately, we are the two wrong two guys sitting here for the check and trace project. Can I take it back, Chair, Honourable Member, as a homework, that we can supply some details on check and trace as a parliamentary question, if that's okay? Because unfortunately we're not part of the project team that's dealing with that. Okay, on the on the critique around 0.1%, we accept. It was not there to say that we were doing well. It was just there to say this is the state of play. And maybe going forward, we can be judged from this base as to where we reach once we put the comparison together. So on question 7, actually, I pointed out earlier, if you look at the slides, imports have actually decreased and exports have increased. So we believe it's going in the right direction. Is it where it should be? I don't believe so. There's a lot of hard work to do, and we will get there. You're absolutely right. We have to empower the customs officers now, and that's one of our big quests going forward with regard to technology, the right facilities, the right equipment, etc. And perhaps when we sit here, I don't know how long before we sit here again, but hopefully maybe in a year's time we can show you vast improvement on where we are. So the last two, Chair, was... Will you take that up? But before you do that, we just want to give something on the 200 million and the success rate. Or can we...
On the 200 million, it's one case. It involves large volumes of cigarettes that were imported into South Africa that were stored into a bonded facility and then was supposedly exported, but the goods were diverted into local consumption and the duties and taxes were not paid. That was part of the Honey Badger project. And that was one of the cases that was investigated, which gave rise to the assessments that were raised.
Thank you, Chair. I'll deal with the questions regarding ITEC, because ITEC impose duties and it's part of the money bill. And Chris will answer questions on the revenue side, like to give Parliament the overview, because we increased the excise duty on tobacco also this year, and you presented in the rates bill as to why we are doing this. With regard to ITEC process, yes, ITEC controls the imports and exports, and the customs, as Saza said, is administered through the Customs and Excise Act, and ITEC will request the Minister of Finance or through the DTI to impose duties so as to control the imports. And because duties is a tax, it's done through the money bill process and it's done through the Section 48 of the Customs and Excise Act. So whenever ITEC is doing that process, it is in collaboration with the DTI. ITEC do it through DTI, and DTI will send it to the Minister of Finance. And Tax Policy Unit is the unit that considers this, and also the SARS, which is the implementer.
Thank you, Honourable Members. There were some questions on, how can you assess performance and what's happening on the fiscal risk side. As Treasury, we presented last year to the previous committee on this issue, and I think you can just see from the progression of excise duties on tobacco through the years, you can sort of see the impact. So 3 years ago, there was a 7% drop in the actual revenue we got from excise duties and domestic tobacco. 2 years ago in 2017-18, there was a 9% drop in excise duties and domestically produced tobacco. So, for example, we forecasted at the beginning of the year that we would get 15 billion from excise duties and tobacco domestically produced in budget 2017. By the end of the year, we only got 11 billion because it was that actual drop. So that, and that was 2 years that coincided with a lot of the issues that were at SARS. And there was a huge drop-off in those revenues, and it's quite clear in the data that there was. Last year, however, there was a bit of a rebound, so it is off a low base, so from a much lower level, but it increased by 9% last year. So there has been some sort of improvement in those excise duty collections. And in all those 3 years, we were actually increasing excise duties on tobacco, the rate, we were increasing it by more than inflation, and we were still getting these reductions in revenue, so it was quite perplexing from our side. But last year we saw an increase. This year we're also seeing an increase that's going up by about 4.5% domestically, a little bit stronger on the import side, which is interesting given what you spoke about earlier. So it looks as if it's getting better. At least it's not falling off anymore, and it's increasing. So hopefully some of the initiatives that SARS are putting forward are bearing fruit. I mean, as Treasury, we do support SARS, and we want to help build a capability. The minister a couple of weeks ago announced that SARS would be getting an extra $1 billion over the next 3 years, and that $1 billion really is to try and improve enforcement, improve capability and capacity within SARS to try and alleviate this issue. Thank you, Chair.
With regard to track and trace, I may answer some of the issues because we are involved with SARS. It was mentioned in the 2017 budget, I used to see, that these measures will be taken up. And SARS has been, the tender process, yes, it has been postponed because we have to go through the procurement procedures. But now SARS has promised that by early next year, this will be done.
Follow-up questions? My friend from TISA, today unfortunately you can't participate in not a public hearing. Come to Parliament in 2024. just listen, you will assist us with information after the meeting. Let's take follow-up questions and comments. Louis, who else wants to make a follow-up? Honorable Rebecca.
Just a very quick follow-up on the track and trace. Is there a specific early next year means any time before the June? So can we just have a specific when that tender will be issued?
Because SARS is an autonomous body, I can't say when, but because we work together, I think the Commissioner can answer to that. No, thanks so much. We're still with the issue of ITEC. You know, majority of black businesses, there is a very huge outcry that it's very difficult to get an ITEC certificate or ITEC documents to import or export goods. So I want to check with you, in terms of your states, how many black people in your states have ITEC certificates against what? Number two is, in terms of clearing and forwarding as well, majority of the black people, black businesses, they are not educated of how to move stuff in and out. Most of those businesses are run by, dominated by majority of the white supremacists. So how, when are we going to give this education? When are we going to go down to the down and educate people about the issue of clearing and forwarding? Thank you.
Thanks. Any other questions?
Chair, I'm answering on ITEC. I think I'll request maybe because that question can be answered by ITEC because ITEC controls the import and export and SARS administers the Customs Act. So I don't think SARS will be able to be able to produce that information based on our workings because we work together with ITEC in this regard, but I think it's better for ITEC to answer that question.
Okay, if you remember why this follow-up meeting, it started when there were public hearings on the tax bill. And the stakeholders there complained that there's a lot of fake, there are lots of fake goods that are flooding the country, and one of them was TISA. And what TISA said, they said you SARS know where the warehouses of this illicit tobacco are packed and taken to traders. That's what they said. There they are. We invited them. They said the police know where the warehouses are, where this tobacco, all these cigarettes are stored. I mean, if that's factual, what TISA is saying, we should be worried as a country that there are warehouses that are known by police where illegal stuff is stored and supplied to traders. I don't understand why should we have such a law enforcement kind of agency. We have to verify the facts with the TISA so that probably next year we tell the police here as to, because they said they've got information and they work with you to supply information. Well, they know who are the illegal or illicit traders and where do they store this and who are the retailers. They said they've got all the information. Why do the police not want this information and use it to crack on this illicit trade? Why? That's the question. That's how it started. Why we're having this meeting today. So, probably members, next year, let's call one meeting of South African Reserve Bank on illicit financial flows. SARS should be here with all this illicit stuff, and FIC and the police. I think the police must come to our next meeting. Yes. Counterfeit goods are flooding South Africa. I mean, they are all over the streets. You can't even walk in the street in any town today. The pavement is full of counterfeit goods. Everybody can see it. So, and nothing is done. It's business as usual. I saw the other time the minister was in Johannesburg trying to clamp down, but seven police were involved in taking the very same stuff to those people. Police working with illicit or illegal traders. You remember that case, it was well publicized. I think there were almost seven who were arrested, police, on that day. So, we are having a problem as a country. If we start to lose, or the public start to lose confidence on the law enforcement, we are going to have a serious problem. Because counterfeit goods are many. The other time I was getting a briefing from some people. We also have a problem of fuel marking. It's a serious problem. By this, we mean the illegal blending of fuel. What happens is that those who are in the fuel industry, paraffin is zero rated, yes. So they blend the paraffin with a small quantity of diesel. And then you think, then they trade it to those who are running fuel stations and whosoever who are suppliers. So your car could not detect that this is not 100 or 50% diesel. So it will get as bit of diesel and it get into motion. But only to find in there 75% of that well is paraffin. Only 25% is diesel. Diesel is expensive. Yes, compared to paraffin. So what they do, they blend. They've got their own machines. They blend paraffin and diesel. These trucks that you see here supplying retail diesel, more than half of what is in that truck, 75%, is paraffin. Yes. So we are facing a very serious problem of illegal and counterfeit stuff out there. And those who are supposed to be enforcing the law, they are not doing anything about this thing. They know who do this problem of fuel marking, where this thing is done. But the culprits are not apprehended and will lose lots of money or revenue in the system.
Chair, on the lighter note, is that not innovation?
Yeah, but it's an innovation which is disadvantaging the country on the expense of the country, Shango. Because there's lots of money involved. The track and trace, Yanga, has been postponed many a times. Why? Now we're told it will, the tender will be out, or is it out, or by March next year it will get implemented. But we should not suspect why there has been many a postponement of this trade and what do they call it, track and trace project. So we hope by March 2020 it will get implemented. The issue of trade balance is a problem. Of course, is the DTI falls under another portfolio. But why do we get involved in tobacco and all this when they are supposed to be going to trade and industry? Our interest as this committee is the revenue, because we are a finance committee. We are not dealing with trade. The report that we presented last week clearly shows the reduction in revenue, and the projection also shows that the revenue collection is still going to be down by so many percentages. And the expenditure is going to rise tremendously. And that is written in our report that we submitted to Parliament, and it was adopted. Then what happens? You end up with a huge deficit. You have to spend, but you don't have the money. You can't stop schooling, you can't stop paying old age, their pension. There are things you can't stop doing. You can't, whether you like it or not. Then what happens? You go to the market and borrow more. Now our debt is 3 trillion. And on a yearly basis, our income is 1.4 or so trillion. The two can't match. That's why we come into all these problems. And we are told that is the result, amongst others, of the revenue that we can collect from all these ones who are involved in illicit trade. Of course, we are worried about the health hazard. The other time I was getting a briefing, if the girls use sanitary pads which are not of proper standard, they are going to be in trouble. Check the health report. There is a high increase of cancer in South Africa. Yeah? You can check, you can Google there or ask the Department of Health. There is a high increase of cancer as we speak because of these sanitary towels which are sold all over for girls. Because of food which you don't know where it is processed, and people end up eating all this stuff because it's cheap. Then the health impact is terrible. So this thing is a second broken. I mean, I'm a parent. How will I feel if my child, my girl child, has cervical cancer at the age of 21, 22? Unless you're not a parent, you won't understand what it means. These sanitary towels are all over on the pavement. And nobody confiscated them. So, job losses, revenue loss, and all sorts of problems. So, and there's no refund shops, Mr. Sheikh and Mutlu. There are many. Where I stay in Laboria, there's no refund shop. I went to the other week, there was a lot of rain here. And so I went to buy an umbrella. And I said, receipt? No receipt, my friend. No receipt. Why? No refund. No refund. No refund. It's there. It's operating in a mall, not on the street. So, and the minister, when he gave, he presented the statement, he said he had the same experience. I can't remember the town where he was. He himself was selling 58 million that he was in a no-refund shop. The minister of finance, Paris, yes, that small town along the Val River in the Free State. Why are we allowing no refund shops to mushroom all over? They don't pay, and they generate lots of money. Now they are even in malls which are legally regulated, have got so many no refund shops. So our problem is serious, honorable members. Very serious, and out there, youth unemployment is increasing. Now it stands at 58%, Morolong and Skosana, because you come from that sector of young people. You are here to represent youth. 58%. And the overall unemployment has increased to 29.1%. So we can't keep quiet because we are public representatives. So I said, made this comment so that you understand the context. Why are we interested in illicit tobacco trade and so on? And when I met those who are in the concrete industry, they complain about the trade balance because there is 1 billion. Worth of tons of concrete that gets into this country. And it's pushing the local producers out. It's cheap, it's substandard, and they even mention the countries. Like Tito said, they know the way out. I met the concrete industry. So they say, members of parliament, we are in trouble. Why do you allow this kind of trade imbalance? Because it's pushing out us as local merchants. They even showed me how it costs to put up a concrete plant. It's very expensive. It's like putting up a mine, a concrete plant. It's very, very expensive. Before you even start doing business, so have a dark plant, you must have lots of money. Then you start producing concrete, which then it has to compete with cheap concrete that come from somewhere. You can see here, we have got almost 98, something tobacco that come from China. So what and the very same China, also even in the concrete sector, is involved in Vietnam. So the problem, if this thing is not arrested, we'll reach a stage where it's like it's a free for all. Yeah? You wake up, you establish a shop, you don't need a license, and nobody will question you. And some who are operating these shops are foreigners. We can't keep quiet about foreigners who don't comply with our law, and we are told we are xenophobic. No. We are a sovereign state. We are citizens, and we must be respected. When we go into their countries, you even have to pull off the shoes, take off the belt. Yes, that's what they do. When you get into their airports and wherever, you take off the shoes, you take off all the things. They open all your bags. We do it here, we are told we are xenophobic. No, it's not. There's nobody who gets killed there. No. They got involved with other things. We can't allow foreigners not to abide with the law of the republic. We are a republic, and people can come into our country, trade illegally, do wrong things, and when we have to enforce the law, we are labeled xenophobic. That cannot be allowed. We are a sovereign state, and our laws must be respected as we respect their laws when we are in their country. There are many people who get arrested for being involved in the curing of drugs from here in South Africa. They get arrested there in Pakistan and Thailand. We have never said those countries must bring back those criminals. We say, leave them in jail because they were involved in wrong activity. So why, when we do that, we are alleged to be xenophobic? People come and open shops without licenses in our country. We can't. We can't have such kind of a country. So I think next year, honorable members, let's get all these agencies. And they come with clear measures. Now we no longer want theory. Illicit financial flows is billions. And Reserve Bank, I think they have got all the statistics, and part of FIC and others. And tell us what has to be done. The police will be here. We'll call them. SARS will have to be here, police and so on, and we are told that this is what is going on. We are tired of presenting reports in the chamber, so our revenue is going to go down. What is going on? When you speak in that chamber, you are talking to the public. You are not talking to your fellow members. You mustn't confuse that. It's not a classroom, a chamber. Chamber is not a classroom or an academic kind of a class. You talk to the public and you tell them that revenue is going to go. So people get depressed, and we don't tell them in return that this is the problem statement, this is what we are going to do. So we present the problem statement and put a full stop. Then people even lose confidence on Parliament because we don't know what we are doing. So we'll meet next year on this illicit stuff, all this illicit stuff, but come with police and you present to us a report that probably we'll have to take to Parliament and say this is what is going to be done. It will be part of when, after receiving the February budget, we'll have to present a proper report of what's going to be done. So thank you very much, honorable members, the past treasury officials and our colleagues from the industry and the media. The meeting is officially adjourned.